I want to play a little clip just to start off my message, and wondering if you have ever felt like these guys. Have you ever felt like them? We can laugh at something like this, but in reality, for those facing gloom, despair, and agony, it's a serious matter. The rates for those dying by suicide and for those attempting suicide are on the rise in this country, including here in Vermont. But these feelings of despair and agony are not new. The writer of Ecclesiastes, thought by many scholars to be King Solomon, who was the richest king at that time, appears to have been despairing. And towards the end of his life, everything in life appeared meaningless. Wisdom, pleasures, folly, and work, all were meaningless to him. Listen to a portion of what he has to say from Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He writes, "So I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun is grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the work into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then he must leave all he owns to someone who has not worked for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun? All his days his work is pain and grief. Even at night his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless." Words from someone who had given up all hope, I think. In the New Testament, we find that the Apostle Paul and his young protege Timothy felt despair. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles that we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt like we had received the sentence of death." To despair means that we have given up on hope. Circumstances can press around us to the extent that we cannot see a way out. When fear grips us, hopelessness is right behind. And the enemy can strike hard with the feelings, that spirit of despair. It's deep-seated and it's everywhere, even within the body of Christ. And the devil will scream in our ears, "You're no good. God's will for you is not good. Your situation is hopeless." And it's hard for us to live in victory when we believe the enemy's lies. King Solomon, Paul, and Timothy all despaired of life at one point, but there was a difference between Solomon and Paul and Timothy. Solomon despaired and found life purposeless and meaningless because he didn't rely on God. He had no hope. Paul and Timothy, though facing despair, did not give in to despair. And indeed, in their despair, they saw purpose in their life and situation, and they found the hope to carry on. They could suffer so many hardships and not give in to that despair because their hope was not based on earthly circumstances. They held on to the knowledge that God was ultimately in control of it all. And immediately following his comment about despairing of life itself, Paul writes, "But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. They turned to God, and they relied on him to get through whatever that terrible ordeal was that they were facing. But even before Paul talks about the despair that he and Timothy faced, he begins this letter to the Corinthian church this way. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves receive from God. Paul found purpose in his suffering, and we can too, although it may not be evident to us at the beginning. Later on in this letter, Paul writes, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." And Paul continues, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Paul knew that whether he lived or died, whether he had plenty or nothing, God was in control, and his sufferings would have meaning for all eternity. Psalm 43, verse 5, gives us a model of how we can talk to ourselves when we are tempted to despair. The psalmist writes, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." This psalm reminds us that regardless of how desperate or frightened we may be at any given moment, there is hope that we will once again praise God and rejoice in his goodness. Hope is a gift of God, and one of the three things that Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians will last forever. Deb Przybylski, writing for crosswalk.com, shares some ways to overcome despair. First, she says, present your body as a living sacrifice. When you give yourself to God this way, even though it's costly, you will find true joy. Second, know that the offering of yourself to God is holy and pleasing to him. He accepts even the weak offering of your love, your life, and service as holy because he evaluates you through mercy. Third, do not conform any longer to the world system. Know that it will not bring fulfillment. The world can never give you value. Only God can do that. And so listen and accept God's evaluation. His priority is to conform you to his image. Fourth, know that God has a master plan for your life. You can be confident of this. He will complete his good work in you in his time. Trust his leadership in your life. And be faithful in the small things. Daily faithfulness is important to God. Faithfulness in little things leads to greatness. Fifth, know that God's leadership in your life is good, pleasing, and perfect. God leads you in a way that is good for you, and he works all things for good to those who love him. God's plan is satisfying because it is uniquely designed for your life. And finally, learn to say no to Satan's lies. Don't agree with him because, remember, he is the father of lies. Pull down those strongholds in your mind by renouncing lies about God, and about who you are in Christ. When condemnation, shame, fear, or despair rise up in your heart to challenge what God has promised in his word, come against it by confessing the truth and resisting his lies. By learning to agree with God's word, you release his power in your life. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Help us to choose to make it our ambition to love you with all our heart. May we know that our offerings are pleasing, good, and acceptable to you. We give to you our feelings of despair, and we confess and renounce the lies that we have been believing. We renounce and pull down every stronghold about you and who we are in Christ. And we ask your forgiveness for believing these false beliefs. And we bring these lies to the feet of Jesus. We thank you that your blood cleanses us from these false beliefs. For those in despair, we pray that you would help them to take authority and break the spirit of despair over their lives in the name of Jesus Christ, and in its place give them your truth. Teach us to confess your word out loud and resist Satan's lies every day. Help us to renew our minds in your truth. Help us to no longer conform to the world system. Help us not to listen to the world's evaluation of who we are. Help us choose to listen only to your evaluation. May we be confident that you have a master plan for our lives and you will complete your work in us. Jesus, help us to trust your leadership in our lives. And we thank you that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. Help us to meditate on your word every day. Amen.